All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 26 to 39. And Father, we are so grateful for your time and your Word. We pray that you will speak to us and give us that timely Word we need to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. God has Word today, I'm telling you. Luke 8, verses 26 to 39. The title of this message is Satan Exposed Again. Now today, there is such a fascination and fixation with the demonic. It seems like every other movie that is released is either a horror or thriller movie. Also, there are more of them dealing with demon possession. Even in the church, there is a strange fixation with the demonic. You have some churches, they see a devil under every rock. And then you have others who say, oh, there's no such thing as a devil. These conditions are disorders. And you have those as well. Now, in these verses, we're going to meet a real person who was demon possessed. And we're just going to look at six characteristics of demon possession to show us that it is alive and well today in our society. This is a similar message to the one that I gave in Mark chapter 5. So this is why this message is entitled Satan Exposed Again, because there can never be too many times that we expose Satan's schemes and devices and his tricks. Look what he says there in verses 26 and 27. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out of the on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Now, according to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, there were two demon-possessed men. Mark and Luke's gospel speak of one man because this man was the main speaker. But there were really two of them, so there's no contradiction like some of the critics like to point out. They focus on the main speaker who were speaking. So notice how this man, he came out. It says when he saw Jesus in verse 28, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Then Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Notice how as soon as Jesus and his disciples stepped on the land, the demon-possessed men met them, according to verse 27. Mark chapter 5, verse 10 says that they begged Jesus not to send them out of the country. This is characteristic number one. Demons have influence and control over certain countries, like in these verses, and also like we see in Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. You remember when the angel came to give Daniel the answer to his prayer, the angel said, "Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved by God, the moment you set your heart to pray, I was set." He said, "But I was hindered and held up by the prince of Persia," which is modern day Iran. But he said, "I got to go back and finish this fight because soon the prince of Greece is coming," making reference to the demonic spirit controlling these countries. As I was thinking about this yesterday, even this morning, I was saying, you know, and just pondering, do I think that there is a demonic spirit controlling America? We can't be dogmatic, but let me just say this. The way that you can tell is to look at the laws a nation is handing down. And you ask yourself, are these laws against the clear teaching of Scripture? If so, then Satan is influencing the leaders of that nation. When you look at the blatant laws being passed, either to outlaw Christianity or to come against the teachings of Christianity, then Satan is influencing the leaders of that particular nation. So I began to just ponder and ask myself and say, okay, what are the laws that are being passed down recently in our great country? Are they blatantly against the teaching of the Word of God? Are they blatantly against, are there laws being passed to shut Christians up or to shut Christianity out? Are there laws being passed to take crosses off of mountains and take Ten Commandments off of courtroom walls that's been there for decades? And when I began to look at these particular things, and I said, Satan is nearby. I look at our own proximity to Washington, D.C., and I just begin to just look and I ponder, and I know that there are believers up there holding prayer meetings that we don't even know about, and they're praying constantly for our country because I believe that Satan wants our country bad. And so evaluate the laws being passed down and ask yourself, are they blatantly against the clear teaching of Scripture? And when you begin to say, oh, look at that law that just passed. Oh, look at what the government just did there. Oh, look at what's happening here. And oh, look at the laws being passed down to shut Christians up. Look at the laws that's being passed. Oh, we got to be tolerant to everyone. We got to be tolerant and acceptable. We're a country of many nations, many people, so we need to be tolerant of everyone except you Christians. Shut your little mouths. Like I was told on Facebook, you need to shut your mouth. And you need to stay in your little four walls of your little church. Don't go trying to spread this stuff out to other people. And I said, you know what? You can say what you want to say, but I'm commanding. I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. And I'm going to keep shouting it. And I don't care who don't want to hear it. I'm going to keep shouting it. Well, you just don't know the stuff that you're saying here. People are looking at it and there are people saying that they would never go to your church. I say, you know what? We got thousands that come. We got over 30 people, 30 countries in attendance at our church. And so if a few people don't want to come because I'm quoting the Word of God and give you the Word of God, then so be it. So be it. And so when we begin to look at these things and evaluate, is a demonic spirit controlling America? If he's not, oh, he's in the driver's seat. Just my observation. This is why we have to persevere in prayer. We got to persevere in prayer because there are demonic spirits trying to hinder things from taking place, hinder prayers from being fulfilled, like we see the angel told Daniel. This is why prayerlessness is one of the worst sins we can ever fall into. Why? Because when we don't pray, we're saying, God, we got this. We don't need you. So if Satan can stop us from praying, he has defeated us in a sense. And prayer is so powerful because prayer is not based upon geographical boundaries, nor is prayer hindered by language. I can pray for someone in Russia. I can pray for believers in Africa and South America. I can pray for relatives in Indiana and Georgia. I can pray while driving or at home. Prayer is only hindered when it is not done, when we don't pray. So characteristic number one about demons is that they have geographical territories. Notice what it says there in verse 27. At the end of verse 27, how he wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house, but in the tombs. The second characteristic of demonic spirits is number two, nudity. I believe the whole pornography industry is influenced by Satan. One of the results of the fall of man in Genesis is that Adam and Eve had to be clothed. In other words, sin distorts how we look at the human body. So God, it was God who clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 verse 21. But here we see this demon, demon-possessed man, he wore no clothes. Let me tell you something, man, pornography will eat our lunch. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your relationship with your wife. Who wants the woman with the rollers in her hair and the scarf on her head with the flannel pajamas when Satan says, go to the computer and feast your eyes on beauties beyond your imagination? And man, Satan wants to trap us on the computer and show us the most beautiful eye candy you will ever want to see. No matter how beautiful your wife is, pornography will destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your walk with God with guilt and condemnation, haunt us with images that only God and his word can deliver and wash our minds from. This is why Romans 6:14 says sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. John 8:36 says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus can set us free. Please do not listen to Satan as he whispers to you that you will be trapped forever in the web of pornography. You can't stop. So seeing that you can't stop, so keep looking. And I'm here to tell you, no. You can't stop by the power of God. Fasting and prayer break strongholds and addictions in our lives. Men, we have to watch out for Satan's grip in this area, because pornography is stronger than any drug on the market. You get high, you come down off the high. You get drunk, you sober up. But Satan constantly replays the images, constantly, where you never come down off of it. I remember telling the men in one of our men's conferences, I said, pornography will call you out of your bed, wake you up at night and call you to the computer to feast your eyes on beauties beyond your imagination. It's worse than any drug. Because see, men, we're stimulated by what we see. And so it constantly replays. No woman can compete with those images on the computer. And it just, Satan just constantly replays and replays. Jesus came to set the captives free. You can be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later. So characteristic number one, they have geographical territories. Number two, they have a fascination with nudity. Number three, it's also in verse 27. Notice how he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. The third characteristic of demonic spirits, there's a fascination with death. He lived in the tombs, not in the house like regular folks. Verse 29 said that no one could bound these men, not even with shackles and chains. They would just pull them apart. Characteristic number four, demons have extraordinary strength. That's why you can see and hear about stories how a little 4'10" Filipino girl over in the Philippines, demon possessed, threw four grown men around the room like they were rag dolls. Because demons have extraordinary strength. Then Mark 5:5 says that these men were crying out and cutting themselves with stones. This leads me to characteristic number five, is cutting. Parents, you better pay close attention if your child is cutting themselves, because Satan has people cutting themselves like these men and has a association with death. I'm not saying that your child is demon possessed if they're cutting themselves, but I will say that Satan is near. He is near, because only Satan can distort the mind to tell a person, if I cause pain to myself by cutting, I release pain. That's a distorted mindset. To cause pain, to release pain, only Satan can think of something like that. That's a demonic mindset. And if that is taking place, know that Satan is near. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this message, our society is fixated with death. They're fixated with dying and demon possession, blood and guts and sawing off body parts and dragging people to hell and demon possessed people climbing up walls and on ceilings. It's just crazy. It's just madness. And then you know the craziest thing is when Christians take God's money that they swear they don't have and they pay to be entertained by it. Swear they don't have the money. But they find themselves now paying 10, 12. You can't get out of the theater without, under, you know, 50 bucks if you got a husband, a few kids, or whatever, boyfriend and baby mama stuff. You can't get out of there with under $50. And you gotta get the big bucket of popcorn. You know, the big old bucket. Then they say they give you a refill on that. Then they give you a big go. No one's body should consume that much liquid. But because your mouth is all thirsty from that big barrel and you going to get two or three refills and swear and talk, then you're going to talk about, I'm fat. I need to exercise. You go to the theater and put on 20 pounds. Soda thing that big don't even fit in the thing. You know, you just got to hold it in your lap. You know, it don't fit in the coaster. Who needs that much liquid? But we take God's money and we're entertained by these things. Then what Satan does, he's very crafty, he's very slick. What Satan would do is to take the sting out of the scare, he'd make it into a comedy. And he'd have the scary movie 1 through 20 or whatever. And they're doing a spoof of it and they're making it funny so it can take the sting out of the scare. And then you just say, oh no, that's just a comedy, you know. It's just a comedy. The madness of it all. The madness, the sheer madness. And that's why whenever I do go to a movie, which is rare, and I wouldn't dare because I don't want to embarrass you. I went there. What did you go see? Because I already know what you went to go see. I don't even have to ask you. And you take God's money and be entertained by the madness. It's just sheer madness. Satan is associated with death. So parents, be on the guard. If your child is getting into death, dying, killing, and wearing all black because Satan is around the corner. I look at the murders in our society and in our country. The suicides occurring shows that Satan is nearby. Satan has been whispering to some of you, I believe, to you moms. They don't appreciate me. And Satan whispered, they don't appreciate you. But if you killed yourself, they get the picture. To you singles, no one wants you. That's why you're still single. But if you killed yourself, you know, then maybe somebody will pay attention that you're here. To fathers, he said, you know what? You haven't been in those kids' lives. You haven't been in your family's life. You can't even find a job. And when you get one, you can't hold it down. Why are you here? Just kill yourself. Satan has been whispering to some of you. He's been whispering to some of you just this week. Just know when that kind of thing starts to happen, Satan is nearby. In verse 28, the demons knew who Jesus was and acknowledged him as the Son of God. Some demons are better off than some people. They acknowledge who Jesus was, acknowledge him as the Son of God. You got some folks that won't even do that. There ain't no God. They're just fairy tales. Really? Demons would even say that he was the Son of God. And on top of that, they knew that they were going to be tormented. Oh, you come to torment? Don't cast me into the abyss. They knew they were going to be tormented. They knew their future. Amazing to me. It's not like they knew their future and said, Jesus, you know, can you get us out of this? We've been serving Satan. You know, can you help a brother out? No. No. They knew they were going to be tormented. Say, no, you know, we know that's coming. Just don't have us leave this country. We still got some business to do in this country. Notice how at the end of verse 29, it says that the demons drove these men into the wilderness. Characteristic number 6 is isolation. Isolation. This is why you see a lot of homeless people out of their minds. No, I'm not saying that all homeless people are demon possessed. I'm not saying that. I have come across a lot of them that are just out of their minds. I remember reading about a man who used to be homeless, and he said that he heard hundreds of voices screaming in his head all the time. And when he accepted Jesus into his life, the voices stopped. Now he is walking with the Lord and in his right mind, a sign that Jesus is in your life, you would have a right mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 is not on the screen for you note takers. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and what? A sound mind. Jesus gives us the mind of Christ as we walk with him. Philippians 2:5 is not on the screen. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Scripture memorization, which is a lost art. Scripture memorization today is like a dinosaur. It's extinct. Scripture memorization gives us the mind of Christ and heals our minds. So it brings a soundness to our thinking. So isolation is another characteristic of Satan. Now, Jesus was also driven into the wilderness, not by Satan, but by the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this point. Satan isolates people for destruction. God isolates people for development. When you are in isolation, ask yourself, why am I here? Am I here for development? Then God sent you there. But if you're there for destruction on the internet, looking at pornography and chat rooms, thinking of ways to kill yourself, then Satan sent you there. Evaluate the next time you're in isolation, and you will know why you're there, either for development or for destruction. I believe some of you have been isolating yourself recently, pulling away from family, pulling away from your spouse, pulling away from children, pulling away from the job. You're dealing with isolation. You have to ask yourself, why am I here? If you're pulling away from those things, I guarantee you Satan is involved and it's for destruction. It's not for development. Because the Lord would never isolate us to where we are alienated from our loved ones. The Lord isolated me when I was in the Marine Corps. I remember to get my attention, the Lord took me away from my country, my wife, my daughter at the time, and sent me to Japan. And that's where I got saved. And that year I was over there away from all of them, isolated in a sense, was for development. I got my foundation in ministry while I was there. That's the difference between isolation for development and isolation for destruction. There are many of you that isolate yourself and you're trying to sneak and whisper to somebody else on your cell phone and talk on the chat rooms and get on Facebook and talking to somebody else, and you're trying to isolate. Well, you know, I just need a little space. And it's for destruction. It's for destruction. And the Lord sees that. Look what he says in verse 32. Now I heard of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. I want you to notice how Satan has to get permission to do anything. Satan is not all powerful and all knowing. So many people believe that Satan is the opposite of God. That's not true. It's not true. He has to get permission to do things, to do anything. You remember in the book of Job, the guy asked Satan, Satan, where you been? He said, I've just been cruising up and down the earth, just doing me, doing my thing. He said, well, have you considered my faithful servant Job? There's none like him in all the land. He said, you know, I have considered him. You know, I can't get to him. You got that hedge around him. Just lower that hedge and I give him to curse you to your face. God said, okay, I'm going to lower the hedge, but you can't touch his person. Okay, okay. See, he got to get permission to do anything. To do anything. Now, I want you to notice verses 33 and 35. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Then those who fed them saw what had happened. They fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You have to understand that the pig industry was illegal, especially for the Jews. It's kind of like the cocaine industry. It was very illegal. So before folks get all in their feelings and say, you know, gee, what Jesus doing? He killed little poor pigs. You know, them poor pigs. Little poor pigs, you know, ran off the cliff and died. You know, Jesus mean. No, it was an illegal industry that was taking place. I want you to look at what happens when Jesus comes into a person's life like this man. He is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Jesus wants to heal our minds, our thinking. Jesus wants to give us a right mind, a mind that makes right decisions, the mind of Christ. A mind that is filled with the word of God. Do you have a right mind today? Are you filled with the word of God? Are you constantly making the wrong decisions? You need the mind of Christ. That's a mind filled with the word of God. And this man was in his right mind. This is the power of Jesus and the cross. He frees people from the grip of Satan. He put clothes on them and they're in their right mind. I mentioned this first service. You can always tell a woman who is walking with the Lord and has a right mind because there's a discretion by which she dresses. You always can tell someone who is loose and free, they try to wear as little clothes as they can. Don't let it get warm outside. Hey, just cover up the bare necessities. The theme song just goes when summertime comes, talking about the bare necessities. And it's just amazing. But a woman who is in her right mind, there's always a discretion about the way she dresses. Always. Because she's in her right mind. And therefore, she has a right way of thinking about how she dresses. This man, who was once naked, now he's clothed and in his right mind. He understood. He just can't run around naked like that. Get some clothes on. But he didn't understand that until Jesus came in his life and gave him a right mind. Now he's saying, you know what? I can't just run around like this. Run around that. That's crazy. I'm in my right mind now, so let me get some clothes on. And I love that. Now, the thing about it is, I love how he's sitting, listening to what Jesus had to say in his word. This is the power of Jesus and the cross. Acts 26:18 is not on the screen. It confirms this. It says to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Notice the power of Jesus to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And this is the power of the cross. People who were once gripped by Satan, now walking with the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing. Look at verses 36 and 37. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he had been demon possessed and was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Jesus is not going to stick around where he's not wanted. And that's what we need to see. Notice that they asked him to depart. The people were more concerned with the pigs that went off the cliff than with these men who used to torment them daily. It is no different today with the extreme views of groups like PETA. They're more concerned about animals than they are about people. Because let me ask you this, where is PETA when the killing of innocent babies occurring at abortion clinics? You never see them out there. But let someone mistreat a dog or wear a fur coat. And PETA's all out, angry, yelling, vein popping out on their forehead. Like, really? Really? But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. These people were more concerned about those pigs that went off the cliff and died than these men who were demon possessed. They used to torment them. They see them clothed in their right mind. You know, ain't looking crazy. They wasn't looking all like, you know, sitting there going wiry eyed. You know, some clothed in their right mind. You would think they were like, oh man, look at these guys here. Man, wow. Jesus, stick around a little bit. We got some more of these somewhere around here. You know, stick around. Help us here. No, they say, you know what? Jesus, you got to raise up. We need you to get out of here. Do you know how much money you cost us? You got to go. That's sad. Very sad. Look at verses 38 and 39. Then the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and tell them the great things God has done for you. Now the man wanted to hang out with Jesus, but Jesus said, you know what? There's some work for you to do. You need to go home. You know that home you left to go live in the tombs? You need to go back home and share with them the great things God has done for you. This is what God wants us to do. Go to our homes, our relatives and folks that know us, and tell them the great things God has done for you. All of you who are chicken and all in your feelings and still holding grudges and don't want to go back to high school reunions and all that, so you need to go back and tell them the great things God has done for you. Hey, you know what? I used to bully you guys and make you mad and call you all kind of names, but I'm sorry. The Lord has done some great things in my life. But many of you still in your feelings, been out of school 10, 15, 20, 25 years, still holding ground, I ain't going back to see them people. I don't want to ever see them. Stop. Stop. Go home. Tell them the great things God has done for you. Stop with all that mess, that drama. Let it go. You see the girl from high school and you're like, that's the one they used to, took my boyfriend. That was 30 years ago. What are you talking about? But that's the kind of mess some of y'all still holding on to some of that mess. That's like, really? Go home. Tell them the great things God has done for you. I can see some of you sit. Let it go. Good grief. Let it go. Look at the second part of verse 39. And because we got to ask ourselves, did this man obey? Well, he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. This man obeyed the words of Jesus, and according to Mark 5:20, he proclaimed what Jesus did for him in Decapolis, which means 10 cities. So he went all around the region proclaiming what Jesus did for him. Amazing thing. This man would not have known that Jesus would use him to preach to 10 cities had he never obeyed. He'd have missed out. Missed out. I wonder what God has for you, but he's waiting on you to obey what he's told you to do. I do this all the time. I look at what I would have missed out on had I stayed in California and not come to Virginia. Oh, let me tell you, I used to tell folks it'd take an act of God to get me to leave California. I loved it. The weather, I loved it. You know, palm trees, just driving around, just, yeah. I ain't leaving. Can have that cold weather. Oh, I want to see the four seasons. Keep your four seasons. Give me summer all year round. And I was all about it. And then the Lord said, excuse me, Tommy. Yes, Lord. You got to raise up. And I want you to go to Virginia. Excuse me. That's way on the other side of the country. But I look at what I would have missed out on had I stayed. Now, I could have stayed. The Lord, you know, it'd be somebody else standing here. But the Lord said, no, I want to use you. And look what I would have missed out on. Look at Abraham. What he would have missed out on if he didn't obey God. And the Lord told him, look, leave your area, your relatives. You got to leave your relatives too, because you know, you know how you backslide around your relatives. So yeah, you need to leave your folks and go to a land that I will show you. And I wonder if he never obeyed, what he would have missed out on. What about you? What has the Lord called you to do? But he's waiting on you to obey. The Lord would never give us step two until we first obeyed step one. It wasn't like God said, Abraham, I need you to go to this land that's going to be flowing with milk and honey. There'll be some giants there, but y'all going to defeat them and it's going to be great. And no, no, no. He just said, I need you to go. Go and leave your area. Leave your relatives and go. And when you go, I tell you what direction. God would never give us step two until we've obeyed step one. Whatever it is that God has told you to do, it could be easily as simple as writing or calling someone saying you're sorry, or forgiving someone who has hurt you. Or it could be to launch out in some ministry God has been laying on your heart. No matter what it is, obey what God has said and he will use you mightily, just like he did with this once demon-possessed man. Let me conclude with this. Today we expose six characteristics of demonic activity, which are number one, geographical territory. Number two, nudity. Number three, death. Number four, extraordinary strength. Number five, cutting. Number six, isolation. If you see some of these things in your life or in the life of your children, please know that Satan is near, and you need to repent of the activity you have been involved in, especially movies with these things as a theme, internet sites, computer games with these activities, because these things are doors that open us up for Satan to get a foothold in our lives and cause some problems. Satan is crafty, and this is why I am exposing his activities, so we can be aware of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, Satan can take advantage of us if we are ignorant of his devices. When we're ignorant of his tricks, we say things like, come on, Pastor Tony, lighten up. It's just a movie. It's just computer game. It's just some music. Come on. Just know if you're saying that, Satan has taken advantage of you because you are ignorant of his devices. But I do not want us to be ignorant, and I don't want Satan to take advantage of us any longer. Let us surrender our lives to him and see the great things he has for us, just like this man found out. God has great things for us, but we have to surrender our lives to him and not be ignorant of the tricks and schemes of Satan. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your grace that abounds toward us. Lord, I pray that you would draw your people to you today. Many of them have been involved in these things. Many of them have been ignorant of Satan's devices and Lord, being entertained by these things. And Lord, I just pray for those who are in the grip of pornography. I pray, God, that Lord, that they will surrender that their lives to you, and Lord, that they will be free. Like you said, Lord, in your word, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to you. May they experience that today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There are those, Lord, who need to surrender their life to you. I pray today will be the day of salvation for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.